Welcome to a burning fire. Jim Boyd is your speaker. There are a lot of male human beings, but how many of them are real men? From 1 Kings chapter 2 we read, "Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged his son Solomon, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man." Well, then he described what he meant. It would be one who would keep the charge of the Lord, one who would keep the Lord's statutes and the Lord's commandments and the Lord's judgments and the Lord's testimonies. And Solomon, of course, lived under the law of Moses, and it would be one in Solomon's day that would heed the law of Moses, that would continue in his word. In the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13, Paul said, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men." Well, what did that mean? Paul said, be strong. Now, when David was giving his deathbed charge to his son Solomon, who was to succeed him as the next king of Israel, he told him to show himself a man. He told him what would be involved. It meant doing God's will. It meant being obedient to God's word. Living as God would have him to live. That was real manhood. And in this second passage, Paul was instructing Christians in Corinth how to be a faithful disciple. And among the instructions he said, quit you like men. And the word quit, that meant behave, conduct yourselves as real men should and would. Not as an immature child, but as a man. Now, every age has its desperate need for real men. And we use the term man to mean, of course, humanity, both men and women, of a certain kind, of a certain quality. But we're talking today mostly about the males. Are they real men? We would make a distinction between just being a male and being a real man. In Jeremiah 5 in verse 1, God's charge to the prophet was this, "Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man. If there be any that executeth judgment, and that seeketh truth, and I will pardon it." Now Jeremiah could find any number of males, but the instruction implies that he would have a difficulty in finding real men, the kind and quality that are described. And just what is a real man? Well, Finn, a real manhood is not measured by physical power or prowess. It means more than just being physically strong, with big biceps and tall and broad shoulders and so forth. The strongest man of the Bible was Samson, but he was a moral degenerate, weak in self-discipline, void of character. Goliath was a giant of the Philistines, but he was an idolater. He fell before a young boy's sling. Even the first king of Israel, King Saul, he was exceptional as far as his physical appearance was. But it takes more than physical appearance to be a real man. It takes more than physical bravery. It takes more than athletic achievement. It takes more than muscles to be classified as a real man in the sight of God. And it takes more than exceptional mental power and quickness of mind and wit. Solomon was the wisest who has ever lived except Christ. Yet he failed to heed the very directions his father gave him. He lived an indulgent life, a luxury, gradually turning away to idolatry. He lived his life as though in much wantonness, only to come to the ultimate conclusion that all of that kind of life was vanity and vexation of spirit. Oh, there are many intellectual people, and they are so-called wise men of our time. They are scholars. They may be geniuses in some respects, but they show themselves to be fools. Some of them even deny the reality of God. Well, they're not real men. Now, Paul shows that real manhood is manifested by maturity in the things that matter. Behave like a man. Behave like a man should be, or should behave. before you call yourself a man. A real man, you see, is one who accepts his duty to God and his fellow man, whatever that duty might be, and he discharges it faithfully to the very best of his ability. Just being a male does not mean, friend, that you or necessarily ever will be a real man in the evaluation of God. And there are many poor excuses for men filling the roles of husbands and fathers today because they either do not know or they will not accept their duty to God, to man, to wife, to children, to the home, to the church, to morality, to righteousness. What is the duty of a real man? Well, he's to be the head of the home as Christ is the head of the church. And this is not arbitrarily assigned to him, but it's been designated by the Creator of the home, Almighty God. And this rules out that so-called henpecked husband. This outlaws the domineering wife, the weak husband figure. There's no more reason for a woman-governed home than it is for a woman-run church. God decreed that man is to be the head of the home, and that pleases those that love God. God made Christ the head of the church, and God gave man to be the head of the family. And variation from this is a variation from God's design. Attempts on the part of women sometimes to take over the home, assuming they have a husband, is to show a disrespect for the law of God, just as the failure on the part of man to be the head of that family is to show disrespect for the law of God. You see, there are decisions in the home that the husband ought to make, not leaving it to the wife to have to make them. Many wives have to make decisions that they ought never be called upon to make, but they have to do it because the husband shirks that duty. A wife has a right to a husband that will lead that family aright. Everyone in that family ought to be able to lean on him for support and for direction. Now, you will please notice, if you will, we said the husband ought to lead. We did not say, and he would not contend, that the husband is to drive his family and his wife. Attempting to be a dictator or a tyrant, that's not manly. A leader is always considerate of those he leads. He's sensitive to their needs and what is the best interest of those whom he leads. And what would you think of a man's head that was indifferent to the welfare of the rest of the body? Would you not think that that head needs to be examined? This is a good description of a man who runs a family and he does not have the proper love and compassion and consideration in interest for those whom he leads. There's nothing manly about being an abusive brute who simply throws his weight around, running roughshod over others, over the wife and over the children. Only when he is a real leader is he a real man. And he has the duty to provide for the family as best he can. God gave man this duty, to earn bread by the sweat of his brow. Unless there are reasons why he cannot provide for a family, it's unmanly for him to allow others to have to provide for him. The wife is to be the keeper of the home, the help suitable to him. She is not to ordinarily be expected to be the provider. Now, there may be occasionally in life extenuating circumstances that would demand her assistance, but too many men have allowed their wives to go to work outside the home, and the children have been neglected for the sake of more and more money. Now, you may not have as much when you are the only provider, but what can you have that will be worth as much as having children that you have the duty to rear and in the proper way that God has taught? And this idea that the woman ought to work outside the home, it has hurt the home. It has hurt marriage. It's hurt society. And until America wakes up to that reality, we're going to suffer the consequences of it also. And children suffer the most when the woman leaves the home. You see, some men are not real men. They're just lazy and willing to let the wife work herself to an early grave while he loafs and plays and does as little as possible. Yes, in emergencies, she should help if she can, providing the better things that are not sacrificed. But we see too many planned emergencies that are nothing but manifestations of covetousness and greed. If a man does not provide for his own, Paul says, he's worse than an infidel. A real man is a good example to follow. You know, sometimes people think a real man is the kind that drinks beer and whiskey, and you see him advertised like that all the time, some big hero guzzling down his booze like he's a real man. He's not a real man. His evil appetite is showing his sons and daughters what a person is not supposed to be. How many children grow up literally afraid of the presence of their father because he's a servant to the devil's view? A real man is an example of honesty, clean living, clean speech, obedience to the laws, respect for authority, and truthfulness. Real men do not brag how they've outwitted the policeman or cheated on a business deal. Fathers with sons in jail sometimes wonder how they turned out that way. Well, the son has just simply followed the example of a father. When their mouth is full of tobacco and cursing and swearing, what can you expect from a son or a daughter whose father they love but has taught them to be servants of the devil? Real men are concerned for the home and everyone in that home. He's concerned for the morality and for responsibility and for work and for purity. Real men do not commit adultery. Real men do not forsake and abandon their families. Real men show the dignity and honor of labor for their family. Whether one is single or married, a father or not, a real man holds those things high on his list of that which is deserving esteem. Now please get the next point. No man is a real man who's not responsible for the spiritual welfare of those in his family, his wife and children. The admonition to train that child that's given by God to the father. This is a duty that cannot be shifted to others. Others may help. Others may provide things to assist him in doing that, but fathers are not real men who think that they can just provide food and shelter and clothing, who forsakes the duty of spiritual guidance, spiritual example, and spiritual instruction. Now, because people sometimes have things all backwards, a real man is Christ-like. He walks daily in the ways of the Lord. He lives obediently in his day-to-day life to the Lord's command. Now, this takes courage and honor and conviction and loyalty. But to be a real man, that ought to be the desire of every husband. Why is that not the desire of every father? The big beer-drinking, cursing, muscular, godless brute, he's a dwarf and a pygmy compared to that person who lives nobly and honestly and truthfully with dignity, with love for God and for man, doing his duty every day. That's the real man. Dear friend, nobody has a right to claim to be a real man until the souls of his wife and children are first and foremost his concern, and he's leading them toward heaven. Indeed, men ought to heed the admonition, show thyself a man. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.